Now, let me say again, as I said last week, that it is commonly assumed among most people that profess Christianity that the sons of men become the children of God only after they are born again, only after they are saved. They even go so far as to say that we have, that is, that men and women can have no relation to Christ until after we've embraced Christ by faith. But according to the scripture, this is just not true.
Exactly.
There's no excuse for such ignorance like this. As I actually said last Sunday, there's actually no excuse. It's because in many cases it's pure stupidity.
You're
it's
right.
Not even ignorance. But those who deliberately repudiate the testimony of scripture, one day they're going to answer to God Almighty. Because remember what Psalms, what is it? Psalm 110, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power.
Amen.
Now you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize that that says God's people are his people before they're willing.
Exactly.
Not only does it teach that they will be willing in the day of his power, that's true. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. But we can also put the emphasis on this, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. What is it? Isaiah chapter 54. Let's look at that. There's a verse there. You see, God's people, the elect, have a relation to Jesus Christ before they ever even know Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13. I got that verse 13. That ain't right because there ain't 13 verses there. Let me find it. Where am I? Oh, I'm in 53. That's probably the reason, then, ain't it? Isaiah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13. What does it say? And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he quoted this verse in John chapter 6, and he says, and they shall all be taught of God. They who? God's children.
Yes, sir.
What is it? It is John. Let's see if I've got that one wrote down. Yeah, of course. John chapter 10. Mm-hmm. Verse 16. And other sheep I have. They're already his sheep.
Amen.
Those who are born again, those who are saved, and I'm talking about saved there as in the sense of being given life and being converted by the gospel. Those who are God's sheep, or those who are saved rather, they have always been God's sheep.
Amen.
We don't become sheep. We've always been God's sheep because he chose us to be his sheep before the foundation of the world. And other sheep, notice, I have.
Yes, sir.
Now this relation doesn't have to do with us toward God. It has to do with God toward us.
Yep.
And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. And basically, he simply said they're not Jewish.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're sheep. Just like there are sheep among the Jews, they're sheep, but they're not of this fold. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring.
Amen.
And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
Amen.
And let me just turn again back to John chapter 6. I mentioned that one already. John chapter 6. Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me.
Amen.
Now the fact is, God has his people all over the face of this earth.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And there is a time when his children do not realize they are his children, but they're his children nonetheless.
Exactly.
This is why you and I have to be careful in condemning people.
Yeah.
And we may say, well, that person shows no evidence of faith. That may be true. They may not have faith, but that don't mean they're not one of God's.
Exactly.
Now, one day, God Almighty and His sovereign free grace will give them faith. But that's His business at His good time.
Yes, sir.
God's people are everywhere. And I mentioned this one, Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, when the Lord Jesus Christ is giving a prophecy through John of this great religious whore. And God says, come out of her who?
Yeah.
My people.
Yes.
Now somebody says, can you be an Arminian and be one of God's people? You sure can.
Sure.
Because if you can be a part of the great whore and be one of God's people, you can certainly be an Arminian too. And let me tell you, you can be a Calvinist and be one too.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's it. Exactly.
Well, they say, can you be an Arminian and be saved? Let me tell you, that's what God's got to save you from.
Exactly.
Is our Arminianism, our free willism.
Yeah.
And we all, to an extent, have it.
Yes, sir.
The fact is, we were all there at one time. We were somewhere else at one time, even if we were brought up and raised here.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
We weren't physically born into the church, but we were spiritually born into the church.
Yes.
Not to become a part of it, because God Almighty chose us as the church. Christ died for the church. Isn't that what the scripture says? He didn't die so that He would sooner or later have a church. Now, it was going to be brought to fruition. It was going to be made manifest.
Yes,
but He already had His church because He died for the church.
Yes, sir.
Right? The church existed in the purpose of God, by the decree of God, before they ever were made manifest.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 18. Let's look at that one. Acts chapter 18. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city.
Amen.
I heard a fellow preach on that one time in Keystone, West Virginia. And he mentioned that.
Yeah.
And he mentioned how that Paul must have walked through that city wondering, I wonder if that's one.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's one. Have you ever done that? I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that might be one of God's.
Yeah.
I wonder if that might be one of God's. God told him, I have already, before any gospel had been preached, David, before any conversions had taken place, God already had much people in this city.
Exactly.
Now the truth is, salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
Now it is true that the elect are found by nature to be in the same condition as the reprobate by the fall of Adam.
Yes, sir.
We are the same.
Yeah.
But we're also different.
Yes.
Not in ourselves, but because of the decree of God.
Exactly.
God Almighty chose a people because He willed to choose a people. And we have a relation to Jesus Christ because He is our head. He's always been our head. We were chosen in Him.
Yes, sir.
Before the foundation of the world. And I do like what Ralph Dell said. We weren't chosen to be in Him.
That's right.
Now there is a sense in which we are, through the work of regeneration, we are placed into Christ.
Yes.
We are given eternal life. We're given life that comes from God and God alone. But we've always been God's people.
Amen.
There never was a time when we were not God's people. There never was a time that I was not in Christ.
Exactly.
Because God chose me in Him, and He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Now, what I call one of the classic passages that states this is Galatians chapter 4. And this morning, Paul and I were watching the TV, and it is amazing how the people can read the Scripture and still not see it, not see the truth.
You're right.
One fellow was preaching, and he said, and of course he was talking about physical healing like many of the folks do. And he said, you can be healed by the stripes of Christ. And then he turned around and quoted Isaiah, which says, by his stripes, you can be healed. Is that what it says? No. Now he quoted it correctly. By his stripes, ye are healed.
Amen.
Not can be, are.
Amen.
And then Peter comes along and quotes that in the New Testament after the stripes have already been. And says, by whose stripes ye, what? Were healed.
Amen.
Were healed. Now these people hear the truth of the scripture, somebody can turn around and lie and say, you can be healed. That's not what it says. Does it?
No, sir.
And yet they, amen, they're raising their hands. These people, sadly, have no life from God.
Exactly.
Now, may some of them be the children of God? Yes, they certainly may be. I don't know.
Exactly.
That's God's business. But let me tell you something. God's going to some time or another begin to teach them a little differently.
Yeah.
A little differently. I will say this flat out. You don't have to come out of Arminianism to be saved. God saves us where we are.
Yes, sir.
If you have to come out first, then it's by works.
Exactly.
Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
In Galatians chapter 4, Paul says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child. Now here's the whole point. The heir has to be the child.
Yeah, exactly.
He or she, as the matter would be, but it was generally males, and he's given us the culture of that day,
yeah.
You know. A statement from the culture of that day. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors, what? Until the time appointed of the Father.
Amen.
Even so we. So he's applying this to the truth of God.
Yes, sir.
Even so we, when we were
children.
Now, he's not simply talking about when we were young.
No.
We weren't God's children. We've always been God's children. There's never been a time we weren't God's children. And before time even existed, we were God's children.
Amen.
Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of, not children, but of what?
Sons.
Amen. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Amen.
We are not what we used to be.
Exactly.
We're not what we used to be. But we're still what we always were.
Exactly. Amen.
Both are true.
Yeah.
We were always children. We've become sons. We're still children.
Yeah.
But now we have been adopted into the family of God. We've been brought out from under the bondage of the law, of the world, and of Satan. And have come full-fledged, that's my word, but have come full-fledged into the family of God. Being a son of God has nothing to do with how much I know about God. It has to do with God Almighty sending his Spirit into my heart, whereby I cry, Papa, Father. Where no longer is the relation just God toward me, but it's also now me toward God. Right? And he goes on, how be it then? When ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God. And I see, now we know him.
Yeah.
Now, once this adoption takes place, we know him. We've been saved.
Yeah. That's it.
We've been saved. We've experienced, and it's a better way to put it, we've experienced salvation. But now, after that you have known God, and it just, you know, and automatically the Spirit must have Mason just moved Paul to say, or rather, are known of God, because that's the most vital thing.
Yes, sir.
Because remember, there were people Paul spoke of in Romans chapter 1 that knew God at one time.
Yeah.
But they turned the truth of God into a lie. God gave them over to a reprobate mind.
That's it.
Now let's note, he didn't give them a reprobate mind. They already had one.
Exactly.
God turns them over to it. God turns them over to it. But now, after that you've known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, where again ye desire, or whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. And then Paul says, what any reasonable-minded, sound-minded, sober-minded believer in Christ would say to people that do that.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of you.
Exactly.
I often put it this way, I have some concerns.
Yeah.
You know? Why? Because though Paul was moved of the Spirit of God to write exactly what God Almighty was pleased to give these Galatians and pass on down to us, God Almighty still did not give Paul omnipotence or omniscience. Paul still did not know exactly who the elect were and who they were not.
Exactly. That's it.
And all we can go on is the results of what God does for someone and to someone. And we can be deceived. There's been people that I've thought they're definitely one of God's, and then later it turns out looks like maybe they weren't. But then there's others I thought, well, and I'm sure if some of you would have met me 30 years ago, you would have said, right there is a reprobate. And I'm not talking about because of some immorality, because at that time, I wasn't all that immoral.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I was more moral then than I am now. Because I didn't know any better then. I was far more immoral than I thought I was. But religiously speaking, I was a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
I was a preacher. A soul winner, and blah, 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 on and on. The problem was I was preaching lies. I was lying on God, yet I was still a child of God.
Yeah.
And God saved me while I was there. He didn't save me by taking me out of that. He saved me while I was there.
Exactly.
And I didn't want to leave there.
Yeah.
I was going to speak what I knew of God and what He had begun to teach me. Where I was going to say it was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God moved me out.
Yes, sir.
The only reason I'm out is because God moved me out. Because had He left it to me, I would have stayed there.
Yeah, exactly.
But the truth is, two can't walk together except they be agreed.
Yeah.
And there were more them than there were of us, so we had to leave. You don't use guns to promote the gospel of Christ. You know, and that's what it would have took.
Yeah.
As a weapon. Now, let me, you know, and the scripture does say, and I've read Revelation, come out of her, my people.
Yes.
And God tells us, come out from among them.
Amen.
And be ye separate, saith the Lord, right?
Amen.
And that's wise counsel.
Yes, sir.
Because if we don't, we will be like Lot and constantly vexing our souls with the filthy way of life of the wicked. It doesn't mean you can't be one of God's and not be in the midst of it, but yet knowing better.
Yeah, that's it.
Yet knowing better. You can one in that state continually can vex their righteous soul with the filthy conversation way of life. Not just their speech now, but that's included. But the filthy conversation or the filthy lifestyle of the wicked. And that's the way God puts it. It's a filthy lifestyle. And let me tell you, when you get that stink on you, back on you, it reminds you of where you used to be, don't it? We can still get it. Scripture says some of us have our garments spotted by the flesh.
Exactly.
Doesn't it say that? Spotted by the flesh. No, it is true. I say it again, that the elect are found by nature to be in the same condition as the reprobate by the fall of Adam. But God does, in His good time, change that. Now, it doesn't mean my flesh ceases to be flesh. But God gives His people life. And they are now literally, spiritually speaking, alive.
Yes, sir.
You see, spiritual life is not a theory.
Exactly.
It's not ethereal. Spiritual life is not a spirit.
Exactly. Yeah.
It is spiritual life. Because it comes from the Father of spirits. Right?
That's it.
It comes from God, who is life. And I'll say it again. People get upset with us. I don't say just me. I don't say just, it wasn't just with Earl. It wasn't just me or Joe. They get upset with us and some. I feel like it's a very small number. If I seen them all at one time, David, it might look quite large, but compared to everybody else, it seems very small. But people get upset with us because we say, and I'll say it again, and by God's grace, I'll continue to say it till I die, and then I'll know it for real then. God Almighty alone gives life.
Amen.
Even His blessed gospel, which is blessed.
Yes, sir.
It's good news to a thirsty soul. It's food to a hungry soul. It's necessary. It's essential food.
Yeah.
But only the living drink. And only the living eat.
Amen. Exactly.
Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. But if you can eat it and drink it, you do have life in you.
Exactly.
That's the whole proof.
Yeah.
You don't eat and drink to get life. You eat and drink because you have life.
Amen.
You don't feed a baby to bring it alive. You feed a baby because it is alive.
Amen.
And why is it people get upset with us? Because we say God does that. You know why? Because they want some little bit to do with man's salvation, no matter how small it, just some little bit. And still, I'm a grace person. I'm a Calvinist. And I believe that through my preaching of the gospel, God gives people life. Let me tell you, that's foolish doctrine.
Amen.
That's heretical doctrine.
Yes, sir.
That is not only error, it's heresy.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody says, what about James 1:18? James 1:18 means exactly what it says.
Yes, sir.
Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. And He does begat His people with the word of truth, but He doesn't give them life.
Yeah.
Joe, you read it. I didn't even have it wrote down, but you read it, and it stuck in my mind. Mm-hmm. Then opened He their understanding by the Scriptures.
No.
Is that what it says?
No.
No, He had to open their understanding so they could even understand the Scriptures.
Amen. That's it.
Whose heart, Scripture says, Acts, whose heart the Lord opened.
Amen.
That she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. I'm here to declare God Almighty gives us life.
Amen.
Our life comes from and is sustained by God Almighty.
Amen.
And anybody who don't teach that is not teaching the truth.
Exactly.
Even if they are one of God's.
Yes, sir.
And even if God called them to preach.
Yes, sir.
Even if God called them to preach, they're not preaching the truth if they preach anything contrary to that. Now the fact is, I'm skipping way over a bunch of my notes, but that's okay. We can go back or we can let it go. It doesn't matter. The fact is, God can give life before you hear the gospel. God can give life while you're hearing the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Or God can give you life after you hear the gospel and you're not under the sound of it anymore. God gives life when He wants. We're not saying God always has to give somebody life years before they ever hear the gospel. God gives life when He wants to.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. Nobody ever will really hear it, spiritually hear it,
exactly,
unless God first gives them life.
Amen.
Somebody says, well, I just don't know about that. Well, it don't matter whether you know about that or not. It's the truth.
Exactly. That's it.
That tends to teach that a person can have life and still be ungodly. We are ungodly. I'm still ungodly.
Exactly. That's it.
I'm ungodly today, standing in this free grace assembly.
Yes, sir.
I'm still an ungodly person.
Oh, yeah.
I said it last week. Truly, knowledge puffs up.
Yeah.
Now, we all have knowledge. And God gave us that knowledge.
Yes,
but
sir,
what do? We get puffed up by it. Now, that's not to blame God. That's our fault. It's our fault. Again, I say it's true that the elect are found by nature to be in the same condition as the reprobate by the fall of Adam. But God does do something to us. The first thing that God ordained in our salvation experientially is life. That's the first thing that has to happen. Now, you may have already heard the gospel. when some were born under the sound of the gospel, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They were born and brought to this assembly, whether we were at Mabscott, the firehouse, or here.
Yeah.
They've always heard the gospel. But let me tell you something. God Almighty had to give them life before they actually ever heard it.
Amen.
And these people who are teaching that God uses the gospel to give life are dead wrong.
Exactly.
Life is accredited to God Almighty Himself.
Amen.
The gospel is not Jesus Christ. It is the message about Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Romans 1 says?
Yes,
the gospel of God.
Yeah.
Right? And I can't quote it. Let's read it. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Look at it. Verse 3. Concerning his son. The gospel concerns his son, but it's not his son.
Exactly.
Let me say something. This is, I have here translated into English, God's word. But this ain't God.
Exactly.
This can feed the living and does feed the living, but only God makes us living.
Amen.
Salvation, again I say, salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
When it says God chose us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, sanctification of the Spirit has to always come first.
Exactly.
God has ordained it this way as cause and effect, and God is the cause.
Exactly.
I mean, Paul had one fellow, and he was talking to him, I guess over the phone and then also through email or whatever. And he ends up quoting, the fellow does, what is it? 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10, trying to prove to Paul that the gospel gives life. And I'm thinking, you know, I try not to get too angry. Well, I know it has that this understanding has to come from God.
Yeah.
That the reason they don't understand it is because God hasn't opened their understanding to understand that verse. But that's still no excuse when we have before us God's word and we disobey it or reject it or lie about it. We're still guilty.
Yeah.
We can't blame or find excuse simply because God hadn't opened our understanding yet.
Yeah.
But look at what it actually says. But is now made manifest. What is that? That is this life, this purpose of grace that God gave us before the world began.
Yeah.
Now notice, see, I've got to go back there. Can't help it. Verse 9, who hath saved us and called us. Which comes first?
Yeah. Salvation.
The salvation comes first.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Exactly.
But let's look at it even further. And who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Not just purpose, but also grace.
Yes, sir.
And when was it given us?
Yeah.
Which was given us in Christ Jesus when we believed. Is that what it says? No, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Amen.
I had grace before I even existed.
Exactly.
Somebody says, you need to get God's grace. No, you can't get it. It's got to be given. As a matter of fact, it won't be given in time if it hadn't already been given in eternity.
Yeah.
Because God don't give gifts based on time. He gives gifts based upon his eternal purpose, period.
Exactly.
The gifts and calling of God are without change.
Amen.
Right? So that lets me know they existed before they're ever actually received, felt, experienced. But let's go on. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Now, who is the death abolisher?
Yeah.
Christ is.
Amen.
And hath brought life and immortality to light.
Yes, exactly.
Through the gospel. And this guy quotes this verse to Paul, quoting somebody else that quoted it, trying to prove that the gospel gives life. He said, right there it says it. No, it don't.
No.
It says Christ gives life because he's the death abolisher.
Yes, sir.
And the gospel brings it to light. It makes it manifest. Amen. It reveals it.
Yeah.
Even in the dark room, the man who has eyes to see has eyes to see.
Exactly.
He's not blind.
No.
He's just in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Let me preach this, Joe. I'll just pick it up. Our Lord said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." The hearing ear must come first.
Amen.
And even some grace people put the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
And they have the gospel doing all these things when it's God Himself that does these things.
Amen.
Men hold themselves in far too high esteem. Somebody says, "You're putting down the gospel." I'll go ahead and say, "You're a fool."
Yeah.
You really believe that? You tell me that? You tell anybody else, anybody that believes the truth of God, they're a fool.
Yeah.
Somebody said, "You ought not say that." Well, sadly, I say it sometimes and I get in trouble for it.
Mm-hmm.
But people are foolish.
Yes, sir.
People are foolish. Yeah. Life comes through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's the first thing God does to us.
Exactly.
Is life. Because without life, what good is everything else? It says, what is it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 4. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Why? Many people do.
Oh, yeah.
Many people do.
Oh, yeah.
They handle the word of God deceitfully. Now, is that Jesus Christ? No. He's talking about this word, the scriptures. And not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid," and the whole point here is that it is a rhetorical, it is hid.
Exactly.
Paul's not saying it might be hid, it is. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are," not just non-elect,
No. Huh?
"It's hid to them that are lost." Now even the elect at one time were what?
Lost.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Our Lord Himself said, "I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost." So the gospel was hid to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
At one time it was hid to me.
Yes, sir.
"But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." I was there at one time too.
Yes, sir.
And then you got these people preaching that it's the gospel that gives you life.
Yeah.
You see, the gospel don't even give light to blind men. I don't care how bright the light of the gospel is, a blind man's blind. He's not going to see it.
Exactly.
Only a seeing man can see the light of the gospel.
Exactly.
And sometimes the light of that gospel may be very small. Or it may be a pretty good beam. Or it may be overwhelming.
Yeah.
But that's God's business.
Yes, sir.
You remember that guy that was blind? Christ healed him? They said, "Well, he must be a sinner because he did this on a certain day." Wasn't he? Isn't that what they said?
Yeah.
He said, and this is what he said. "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know."
Yeah. I don't.
And now, folks, that's what he said. But let me tell you, he was one of God's.
Yes, sir.
And God had already showed him mercy.
Yes, sir.
And God had already physically opened his eyes. And I want to tell you something, he'd already spiritually opened his eyes too.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't know very much at all, did he? "Whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. I don't know. But one thing I know, wherein one time I was blind, now I see."
Amen.
And that's one thing a blind man knows when God gives him sight. He knows now, I can see.
Amen.
He may not know much about Christ, but it's not how much you know, it's being able to see.
Yeah.
And then, what was it? Later, our Lord came back to him.
Yeah.
And basically said, "Do you know who the Lord is?" He said, I don't know. He said, "It's me." You know, Christ didn't do that for a lot of people.
That's exactly right.
You know that?
That's exactly right.
He didn't do that for just every Tom, Dick, and Harry. He said, "I'm the one. I'm him." But this guy, even though he didn't know, I don't know, he said, but this is a marvelous thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? Here's this old dumb blind guy.
Yeah.
But he knew a whole lot more than the religious folks did in all of their scripture quotations.
Yes, sir.
Because one thing, the Lord of glory had met him on his road.
Yes, sir.
And that's the, see, it's not how much you know. It's who saved you.
Amen.
It's who knows you. It's who knows me.
Yeah.
Well, can a person believe in free will and still be saved? They certainly can. Because we probably still hold to free will in some way or some fashion or some form here or there.
Oh, yeah.
Every time we say, I...
Exactly.
That's free will exposing itself.
Yeah.
Not that free will don't exist, but actually free will, and I've said it before, I said, free will is nothing more than self-will clothed in religious rhetoric.
Exactly.
That's what free will is. Free will doesn't exist. It's self-will.
Exactly.
Self-will. Self-will's damning.
Oh, yeah.
That's what free will is, damning. And it is sad, it does seem as though many people have made free will to be their God. It's their answer to everything.
Oh, yeah.
Every passage, free will. If you don't understand it, just cry free will. Everybody loves you then. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if Hollywood supports free will, it can't be true.
Exactly. Well,
and I take that as a standard.
Yeah.
They can't even get the story of Moses right.
Exactly.
And people think that, you know, they're supposed to promote the doctrine of God. No, said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What do people do with this passage? Nothing. Nothing.
Exactly.
Oh, well, you know. It means exactly what it says. People who are lost and don't believe are blinded to the gospel.
Exactly.
Yeah. It gives them nothing.
Exactly. That's it.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And then it says what? For God. Paul's got to. The Spirit moves him to go right back to the source now. If the gospel, if we're blinded to the gospel, how in the world does anything ever get done?
Exactly.
How does anything ever happen then?
Yeah.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. And I say we shine in our hearts by the gospel. That's the lie. So what he's just saying, it can't happen.
Yeah.
God himself shines in the heart.
Amen.
God is light.
Amen.
And God's the only light that'll help a dead soul.
Exactly.
He has to, just like Adam. When Adam was first formed, his body was laying there.
Yeah, that's it.
He was dead.
Yep.
In essence, the body was there, right? And it says God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now that's physical life. But let me tell you, it's the same God that breathes spiritual life.
Amen.
And God alone.
Exactly.
God does it. Now, if somebody don't like that, they're trying to discredit God.
Exactly.
Right? That's the problem, you see. When they say, well, the gospel does it, or this does it, or that does it. No, Paul says God does it.
Amen.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. When Ezekiel was in the valley of dry bones, somebody says, "He'll see right there, he had to preach to them before they come alive." No, he didn't. Mm-mm. It wasn't the preaching that made it come alive. Now, the preaching caused bones to join together and sinews.
Yeah.
The preaching does affect people.
Yeah.
The gospel will affect people.
Yeah.
The gospel causes people to react.
Yeah.
You know that? But how did life? They said he was preaching to them that even when the bones came together and sinews came on it, you know what it says? They were still dead.
Amen.
There was no life in them. And how did life come? By Ezekiel's preaching? And by the wind.
Amen.
Now, yeah, God can give life while the gospel's being preached. I don't deny that.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, it's God to give life.
Amen.
It wasn't the preaching.
Exactly.
And, you know, people, they take the truth of God and just lie like a sack full of demons. Mm-hmm. Most demons probably wouldn't lie that bad.
Oh, yeah.
It says, told Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind.
Yeah.
Cry out to God for life, because that's the only place it's going to come from.
Exactly.
His preaching didn't do it for him, did it?
Amen.
And then people turn to Ezekiel, that chapter, and try to prove that gospel preaching gives life. The fool has said in his heart, it ain't God.
Yeah, that's it.
Huh? I know that's not a scripture quote, but it's still the truth.
That's it.
The fool says in his heart, it's not God.
Yeah.
It's something else.
Yeah.
No, life comes from God Almighty. Look at it, John chapter 5. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is.
Yes.
So, although the hour was coming, yet Christ is saying, this is still true even right now.
Yeah.
Let me say something, that the new birth is not a New Testament phenomenon.
Exactly.
The new birth is not a new covenant phenomenon. I've heard that preached.
It's not.
The new birth began with the first one God Almighty gave spiritual life to. The new birth's always been when God first gave someone spiritual life.
Yes, sir.
I think that was Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear what? The voice of the Son of God.
Amen.
And then somebody says, well, that's through the preaching. That ain't what that says.
No.
And we need to quit adding stuff into the book. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
Amen.
This is none other than Christ Himself saying, just like He did to Lazarus in that tomb,
yes.
Lazarus. And right then, he was up.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he was alive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then He told him, do what? Then come forth. Now somebody, they are, well, how do you really know that's the voice of the Son of God? Because it says the voice of the Son of God.
Exactly.
You remember what Ralph Dale said, don't you? It's the voice of the preacher. He said, no, it ain't what it says.
Uh-huh.
And somebody said, well, but you've got to put, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. Don't be an idiot. You know? It says here, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Now what, do we have anything else that illustrates that? We certainly do, even right here. Now, he's talking here about spiritual life.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Exactly.
He's talking about spiritual life. People who are spiritually dead, the Son of God must bring them to life. Isn't that what that says?
Yes, sir.
And then look at what he says here. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Notice he ain't say which and now is on this one. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear what? His voice. His who? Him who? The voice of the Son of God.
Amen.
Now let me ask you, what is going to affect the resurrection of the last day? And that's what he's talking about here.
Yes, sir.
Preaching of the gospel?
Exactly.
Witnessing? Witnessing the gospel? No. Jesus Christ Himself will bring those people out of the graves.
Amen.
Just like Jesus Christ Himself brings people out of the spiritual grave. You don't even have to know some of the Greek here. There's things here in the Greek that let us know that life must come before you can even hear and believe. Not just believe, but also hear.
Amen.
And the Greek form of the verb, the tense of it, proves this. But you don't even need to know that. Christ Himself says it. I give life. Just like I'm going to do at the last day in the resurrection. Now that settles it. I don't care what other passage you come along, it can't be added to that. It must be understood in the light of this.
Yeah.
This precedent stands. God gives life.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
And when the Scripture talks about being begotten through the Word or having light through the Word, it's meaning exactly what it says, but it's not in any way contradicting this.
Exactly.
Nor is it explaining this. Yes, our Lord did say, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we must be set apart by the word of God.
Yes, sir.
But we must be set apart by the Spirit of God first before you're ever going to be set apart by the Word of God.
Exactly.
Life comes from God Almighty. 1 Peter, I think it is. Let me find the passage here. 1 Peter chapter 1. It's about time for me to wind it. Well, it's past time for me to wind this up. Look at verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, that's your vain way of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And let me say this, the gospel didn't redeem me.
Exactly. That's right.
The gospel don't justify me.
No, sir.
Jesus Christ, His blood does those things. Not the gospel. See, the gospel has its proper and essential place. But if I try to say the gospel redeems me,
That's
just as in error as the gospel regenerates me. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe. You see that?
Amen.
We don't believe by free will, we believe by Christ.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in what? In God, the one that does it. Salvation is not of the gospel. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
And somebody said, you don't believe in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Again, I say, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Yeah, that's there.
Yeah.
But how? Through the Spirit.
Yeah.
Through the Spirit unto unpretended, unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being, and the actual tense of it, having been.
Yeah.
Now the being in English would kind of indicate an ongoing process. That's not the way the Greek puts it. It is having been.
Yeah.
It's a one-time act in the past. Being, having been, born again, not of corruptible seed. Now, wait a minute. Corruptible seed. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the, you know what that word right there is? It's by the Word of God. That word is logos.
Yes.
Being born again by the logos. And it's amazing, as you go down and read verse 25, you'll find out here, Peter changes the word and no longer talks about logos.
Yeah.
He now uses rhema, which means the spoken word.
Exactly.
You think that's coincidence?
I don't think so.
Peter just decided, I don't think I want to write logos again. I think I want to use a different word. You see, ours is translated word. We don't see a difference there,
Yeah. Do
we? But there is a difference there.
Yes, sir.
The logos gives us life.
Yeah.
But the word, the rhema of the Lord endures forever. And this is the rhema which by the gospel is preached unto you. The spoken word.
Exactly.
You see, no one can obey the truth until they hear it.
That's right.
But no one can hear it until God Almighty gives them life.
Amen.
And that's the truth of God.
That's it.
Period. Amen. Father, I pray that you instruct us and encourage us wherein we have been instructed. Be with us and strengthen us. Cause us to be mindful of one another. I ask you these things in Christ's name. Amen.